Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The road ahead for 2026 regarding religious freedom and parental rights on the docket for this year. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, we have the privilege to represent various people whose religious freedom have been impeded in various ways. And the first one is our case, Doe's versus New York Governor Hochul. And that was where, as you remember, during COVID, they had this COVID mandate. They were forcing people to get the jab. They would take medical exemptions, but not religious exemptions. And so as a result, New York healthcare workers were forced out of business or kicked to the curb out of their jobs because they're asking for religious accommodations. The COVID shots, they're all associated with aborted fetal cells. They don't want to violate their bodies, their temples with that shot. So by standing for their faith, they were kicked to the curb, either fired or lost their business licenses.
Yeah, that's right. Governor Hochul and her cabinet, her administration in New York, ordered businesses to violate federal law by refusing all religious accommodation requests to the COVID shots. So all of the employers, when they got a religious accommodation request, didn't even consider them. They denied them outright. And in fact, one of the employees that we represent, who was terminated, had been a remote worker for 10 years, had an exemption to all vaccines for 10 years, including the exemption to COVID, and then this new regulation passed, and they said religious accommodations are no longer accepted. So they revoked it. He was terminated. Others also had exemptions to the COVID shot. They were terminated. They said under this new rule, the final rule from the state of New York, they cannot consider religious accommodations. Now, under the Title VII, which is the federal employment law, the way it works is an employee has a sincere religious belief, needs to express that to the employer and mention what particular employment practice is burdening or conflicting with that belief. The burden then shifts to the employer, and the employer then has the obligation to have an interactive engagement with the employee to say what kind of accommodation might be possible.
Well, Governor Hochul seems to think she's above Title VII, above the law, and that was not done in this case.
No, so all the employers, because they were threatened with daily fines of $1,000 per employee per day and loss of their business license, were so terrified that they actually told their employees, we will no longer even consider your religious accommodation request because of the state law. That has huge implications because if New York can get away with it, then New York can also impose gender identity requirements on employers, use of restrooms, sports, showers, private spaces, many, many other kinds of regulations, and impose fines and penalties on employers for noncompliance. And someone who has a religious objection, request a religious accommodation, they're gone. So the implications are huge. We just met in Washington, D.C. with the Solicitor General's legal team. Represented there were a wide variety of other departments and agencies of the federal government that would have an interest in this issue, including EEOC and HHS. Soon we will get the brief by the Solicitor General's office representing the views of the United States. They're also meeting with the opposing counsel regarding the defendants in this case. And if they ultimately agree that the Supreme Court should take the case, we'll have this case before the United States Supreme Court later this year. That's a big case. Another one that we filed a brief on, actually we filed two briefs on it, Childs versus Salazar. That is the Change Council decision out of Colorado. So far, it looks like, at least from the oral arguments, the court hopefully will go in the right direction and strike down those laws. But I anticipate, Holly, that notwithstanding, there's still 87 bans that are on the books. We struck down 23 with our cases out of Florida, that some of these states that are so ideologically blind to this issue of banning counsel for people struggling with same-sex behavior and identities, that they will defy the Supreme Court. And therefore, we're going to have to, even though we may get a win, and I think we will at the Supreme Court, go into these other states and force them to comply, because I don't think they're going to voluntarily withdraw their laws or local ordinances. So we're going to have to continue the fight, but I think we're on the right trajectory.
Yeah, in this particular case, this Christian counselor in Colorado was proactive and said, I don't want the government in my counseling office. I need to be able to help these minors. And in Colorado, you know, there's quite a bit of that issue going on out there. But, you know, with the Supreme Court hearing this case, this could set a very important precedent for these other states that you're talking about, for them to agree the government has no place in the counselor's office. These counselors should be able to help these kids that are struggling.
And, you know, it seems like a common idea.
Yes.
Stay out of the counseling session. Don't tell the counselor what the counselor can say or what the client can hear. Just leave that. It's a private session. That's why you have confidentiality.
Right.
We don't have an exception for the government to sit in the counseling and listen to everything.
Right.
And then fine, penalize, threaten the revocation of a license of a counselor that doesn't toe the government line.
Yeah, if the counselor pushed the client toward the activism, the puberty blockers and the surgery, that's fine. But you can't help them with the main issue.
Right.
What's really causing that.
To overcome those issues.
Yes.
So West Virginia versus BPJ and Little versus Hecox, that's the two states that are protecting women in sports. Those are before the United States Supreme Court. We filed briefs in those cases. We filed studies that show clearly there's differences in biology. It's pretty obvious. Crazy that we have to even argue that today.
At the high court even.
Yeah, we have to argue that, you know what? There are differences in biology. Males are males, females are females, and they have differences if you haven't noticed.
Right. But these two cases, bottom line, is protecting women in women's sports, bottom line.
So that was just argued. This will have a huge impact because there's 27 states already that have laws on the books similar to the ones that are challenged in Idaho and West Virginia that protect women in sports. Bickford versus Bradeen, I argued at the Maine Supreme Court late last year. This is Emily Bickford and her daughter Ava, who now has just turned 13. She wanted to be baptized. She is in a situation where the mom has primary custody and the father, they had never been married, but has visitation. And when he found out that she wanted to be baptized, he went to the courts and he found a judge who issued one of the most hostile opinions I've ever read regarding religious issues, which never uses God in the normal way of capital G-O-D, but always lowercases it, which is an insult to Emily and Ava's faith. Bottom line is, Emily and Ava, since December of 2024, when the order came down, have never been able to go to church together. They were not able to go to any religious event in December for Christmas of 2024. Nothing in December of 2025. In fact, Emily reached out to Matthew Bradeen, who under the order has absolute total veto rights over any church, any religious event, any religious literature, including the Bible, with regards to Ava, and can totally override the fit parent, Emily Bickford, with whom Ava lives. So in this case, she presented several different church options to Matthew Bradeen for December to take her to an event for Christmas. All of them were denied. The order is operating exactly how the judge intended it, an absolute prohibition on Emily from taking her daughter, now 13, to any church, religious event, religious organization. And here's something even worse. She was a member, Emily and Ava, of Calvary Chapel, Portland, from May 2021 till December 2024 when the order came down. According to the order, Emily cannot take her to Calvary, and Ava has to disassociate with, have no contact with, anyone who's affiliated with Calvary Chapel, Portland. So that means all of her friends, her support network, she had to cold turkey just stop visiting them. Pray for this case, because it's unimaginable that Ava, who is confused about why she can't go to church, why she can't see her friends, is in this situation. And also pray for Emily through this process as well. We have many other cases as well. I'll be arguing the Liberty University case, critically important one, on March 17, and many more. The docket is full in 2026. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.